Welcome back to the show. Now, if you've been following the news at all, you've noticed that on the other side of the world, things are not going very well. We've been following the Ukraine situation, talking to anybody with some knowledge about the subject, trying to educate you. And joining us now is former UN Ambassador John Bolton. He's a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He knows more about this than you and I could ever hope to forget. So, welcome to the show, Ambassador Bolton.
Well, thanks very much. Glad to be with you.
Now, you wrote in the New York Daily News last month that on February 20th, looks like, that this situation in the Ukraine really just exposes how weak the president is and almost really disinterested in foreign policy issues. But as much as you want to bury your head in the sand in this country and ignore the rest of the world, we can't. Explain to us why what's happening in Ukraine matters.
Incredibly important country for the United States strategically, politically, and economically. It's a big country, although many Americans don't know that, almost 50 million people. Back in the day, it was the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. It has huge economic potential. Its people, by and large, want to tilt to the West. And it's a big opportunity for the United States and Europe to gain a real asset right in Eastern Europe. Moreover, it has much broader implications. Ukraine is the biggest of the former Soviet republics other than Russia itself, and Vladimir Putin is pursuing a clear strategy here. He knows exactly what he wants. He said about 8 years ago the breakup of the Soviet Union was the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century. His clear objective is to reestablish Russian hegemony over the space of the former Soviet Union. I don't think he wants to recreate it. He just wants to dominate it. So if Ukraine slips Moscow's way, all the other republics like Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and the others are in jeopardy too. And worldwide, everybody is watching this confrontation. Putin versus Obama, Russia versus America, and they can see that we're not prevailing, to say the least.
Right.
This is not a problem of what Obama did wrong or didn't do in the last month or what he's going to do wrong or not do in the next month. It's a question of 5 years of the Obama administration paying essentially zero attention to what Putin was up to. I mean, it's even worse than that. Remember the reset button?
Mm-hmm.
We made concessions to the Russians. They were going to be nice to us in return. Fat chance. This is what we get. And honestly, it's not at all surprising that Putin sized Obama up as weak, not yesterday, not the day before, but over the course of 5 years, and has reacted accordingly.
Well, the president has put crayon marks all over the map, drawing red lines, and then sort of erased them whenever they're actually crossed. But what is Russia's interest in Ukraine? It's the Crimea region. Is it just that they want to exercise their power? Is there a strategic reason with their military base there on the Black Sea? Is they want a warm water port? What interest? Why Ukraine? Why Crimea?
Well, the Ukraine has historical importance for Russia going back 1,000 years or so. I mean, they view it as part of greater Russia, and many people in Ukraine are Russian-speaking. They're Eastern Orthodox. In Crimea in particular, they're actually ethnic Russian as well. But for Putin, too, this is a strategic question. Ukraine, look at it on the map. It's a big country geographically. It's space. It's a buffer state between Russia and NATO. And this is really, I think, where he has sized Obama up, sized the Europeans up, too. You know, back in 2008, George Bush proposed to NATO that we put Ukraine and Georgia on a path to clear NATO membership. He did that in the NATO summit in Bucharest in April of 2008. The Europeans, because they were scared of the Russian response, declined what Bush wanted to do. And 4 months later, Russia invaded Georgia in August of 2008. So I think Putin saw the West's hesitation back in 2008. He took advantage of it then, and he's doing it now. And by the way, that's the answer to those who say, oh, well, when Russia invaded Georgia in 2008, Bush didn't do anything more than what Obama's doing now. Bush anticipated exactly what was happening and was trying to put the Europeans together with the United States to make it clear to Russia that the use of force against Ukraine, Georgia, should be out of bounds. The Europeans declined to go along.
Our guest is Ambassador John Bolton, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Now, Ambassador Bolton, Europe is dependent on Russia for energy. That sort of ties their hands a little bit insofar as what they can do sanction-wise, what they can do standing up to Putin, does it not?
Well, absolutely, and that is part of the problem. Ukraine in particular gets something like 80% of its oil and natural gas from Russia. But what this tells us is that the one never should have let themselves get in that position. You can blame Gerhard Schroeder, the former chancellor of Germany, among others, for that mistake. Jacques Chirac, the former president of France. Now they understand they've got a problem. And this is a perfect opportunity for the United States to unleash the shale oil and shale gas potential that we've got in our country, in Canada, and Mexico, begin exporting oil and natural gas in ways and quantities we used to do. It will be fantastic for our economy here at home, fantastic for our balance of payments problems, and fantastic for our friends in Europe who will have a strategic alternative to Russian oil and gas. We should do this yesterday.
But that's one thing I don't think people realize is how domestic policy can influence foreign policy by tying our own hands at home, by not exploring. I mean, we're exploring on private lands in this country for sources of energy, and that's why our numbers are up as far as production goes. But on public lands, lands that the government controls, they're way down. If we were able to feed Europe energy, they would be less dependent on Russia and stronger on a national stage, correct?
Absolutely. And you have touched on a fundamental point, which is the total interrelationship between domestic policy and foreign policy. You know, most political operatives say, oh, the American people don't care about foreign policy. It's too remote from their daily lives. Ukraine is a perfect example, it hardly gets better, of just how important international events are to domestic policy and vice versa. So, you know, we would be in a much different position today in Ukraine if that prospect of Europe turning to us for oil and natural gas were closer in time. We will get there, I think, I hope, but it's not going to affect the situation today. If we had done more on this earlier instead of Obama giving loan guarantees to solar and wind companies, we'd be in a very different place.
Now, Ambassador Bolton, you know most of the world leaders involved. You've sat across the tables from them. You've had dealings with them. What kind of man is Vladimir Putin? What is his end game here? Is he just testing the waters for future actions, or is he, what is he hoping to achieve here? Because Ukraine, this section of Crimea is important, but in the grand scheme of things, if we had a strong foreign policy, a strong leader in the White House, would it be worth it still for him to do this?
Well, I think he is testing. I think he sees weakness and lack of attention in Obama. I think he understands our political system very well. He's got three more years, basically, to get what he wants before we might elect a stronger president in 2016. And I have sat across the table from Vladimir Putin. He's tough. He's just personally a tough minded individual trained in the KGB, and perhaps even more important, as I described before with respect to the former Soviet Union, he has a strategy. He knows what he wants. He has thought about the cost and benefits of different tactics. Unlike Obama, who I think rarely addresses national security issues, doesn't think about them, isn't concerned about America's decline in the world because, if anything, he thinks America's too powerful and that we're part of the cause of international tension, I think that's like looking at the world through the wrong end of a telescope. And you can bet from Moscow's perspective, Vladimir Putin looks after Russian interest first and foremost.
Now, we have a lot of allies, strong allies, particularly in Europe, but then we have a lot of marginal allies around the world. When the President of the United States comes out a week ago last Friday, delivers a statement, he just reads it, runs off the stage, and then a half an hour later is telling a Democratic fundraiser that it's happy hour because it's 5 o'clock, and, you know, is at essentially goes to a fundraiser, then spends last weekend golfing. Forget the message that sends to Vladimir Putin about the lack of seriousness by the leadership in this country. What does it tell, and what damage could it possibly do with our relationships to our marginal allies that are looking for, they need someone stronger to hold on to their position, and maybe we're not the best country for that?
Well, it has the Obama's weakness has an effect both on our adversaries and our friends, close friends or weaker friends. Because our friends say, You know, if we can't count on the United States, we're gonna cut deals with our adversaries that look after our interests, not because we necessarily want to, but because we see what the alternative is. We'd rather deal now than when the United States might even be in a weaker position. I know many Americans say, you know, we shouldn't be the world's policeman. I've never thought we should be the world's policeman either. And we do have a lot of allies that are free riders. They don't bear their fair share of the burden. But let's be clear, we're in this for us. We're not in this for them. We're protecting our interest. And, you know, if we don't do it, you can bet nobody else is. So that this is why when America retreats from defending its own interests and its friends around the world, our adversaries take advantage of it. It's not American strength that's provocative. It's American weakness that's provocative.
Absolutely. Last question for you, Ambassador Bolton. The Russians and the Russian areas of the Ukraine and Crimea are looking to pass a resolution to basically secede from Ukraine. If this is allowed to happen, and I don't know how we could stop it or how anybody could stop it, really, aside from even sanctions don't seem to bother Putin because he'll get his money from somewhere. What will be the implications for the United States?
Well, this referendum will carry overwhelmingly, probably 80 or 90% will vote in favor of leaving Ukraine and joining Russia. But I don't think that's Putin's objective. I think he still thinks he can attain hegemony over all of Ukraine. I think he's negotiating in a true Soviet-era fashion. He's got his boot on Ukraine's neck, and now he's saying, let's negotiate. It's certainly possible that he'll annex Crimea, but I think his bigger objective is hegemony over all of Ukraine, and I think he can still get it. That's what I think he's playing for.
Well, how pathetic is it that the Secretary of State and the President are out there saying that we shouldn't be acting in a Cold War manner? They're trying to lecture him on things he's already done. They're the ones operating in a pre-Cold War manner, which is the ultimate in ignorance, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, they clearly do not understand the nature of the adversary that they face in Putin. They live in a fog of rhetoric about international law that they think others operate in, and Putin's just, as Merkel said, he's in a different universe. You bet he is. He's in the universe of power, and Obama and Kerry are in the universe of words. Guess who will prevail in that contest?
You can look back at history at any time and see what the answer to that question is. Ambassador John Bolton, the American Enterprise Institute, I appreciate your time and insight on this issue.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
That was Ambassador John Bolton, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, career diplomat. It's very frightening to think that the president and the secretary of state think that just by saying don't act like that is somehow going to influence a dictator in Russia and get him to wake up one morning and go, oh, well, if you don't want me to, maybe I shouldn't act in a Cold War manner. Putin is acting in the best interest of Russia. I don't know whose best interest our leadership is acting in. We'll take a break right here and be right back.